Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
6:16 now, and it's Tuesday morning, December 3rd. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be December 24th, December 25th, and the 31st in the blink of an eye. You know how it goes this time of year. It's going to be chilly today, highs of 60, and nothing but sunshine. To me, perfect. But everybody has their own choices. Right now, we're still in the 40s, if you average the temperatures throughout the area. There is a situation going on now with the tariffs as they relate to Mexico and the president putting the tariffs on them, and the farmers of Louisiana being paid aid, I guess you would call it, to offset the losses that they have as a result of the tariffs. And we're going to go into that this hour and see if it's a good program, if it's worth it in the long run or not. Walter Dublane joins us, associate professor of economics and finance at UNO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
My alma mater, I should throw in UNO. Walter, before we, before we get to the tariff payments, I know a lot of people have questions about subsidies and farmers getting paid not to grow crops and aid, and then calling it farmer welfare, et cetera. Could you just give us a little subsidy 101, perhaps, so we can understand exactly what it is that happens before we get to tariffs?
Well, there's several. There's a lot of different farm programs. The one that's the most recent one is the program that that was in the paper recently, that saying how much our soybean farmers had received because of the response to tariffs. Because we put tariffs on the Chinese, they had reciprocal tariffs on our products, particularly soybeans, which 60% of our soybean crop was sent to China previously. Well, that hurts our soybean farmers, and so the president created a program to help give a certain amount of dollars per acre for people that were growing soybeans to try to compensate them for their losses due to the reciprocal tariffs. Now, there are a lot of other agricultural programs out there where they try to support farmers to raise the price of crops. Sugar is one that had gotten a certain amount of subsidies, which is big for obviously Louisiana. That's our biggest crop is sugar. Soy is our second. And the subsidies are simply, it's just, really politics, that the farmers say that they're losing money. They don't have enough. The prices aren't high enough. And so the government creates a program that promises to guarantee a certain price for sugarcane. And if the market doesn't make that price, then the government buys it. So that's one type of subsidy program. Again, there are others they do to try to reduce the supply, drive up the price. They pay farmers a certain amount to not grow crops. There's a whole bunch of programs. It's all trying to subsidize the farmers.
So, and I mistakenly said Mexico earlier, obviously about China, but I guess in one way or the other, they're both subsidies, right? At one point, you're subsidizing somebody for growing something. At another point, you're subsidizing them for not growing something. Is there between the tariff payments and the regular subsidies?
Yeah, they're different reasons. Obviously, the right now, the soy prices are low, and our farmers are taking a big hit because of the reciprocal tariffs that China put on to us because we put tariffs on their products. And it's the trade war, and our farmers are the ones that are losing because of the trade war, losing big. And so the president says, well, I'm going to try to help them out. It's also it's a very strong part of his political base. So it's really, it makes sense for him to be helping them out because a lot of them voted for him.
All right, we take a break. When we pick it up here, I would like to continue, if I can, Dub, subsidy, sure, and tariff 101, because I know a lot of people have this image in their mind of farmers, and we can drill down on that a little bit too, is mom and pop working hard, coming in, having the big lunch, and then going out and milking the cows. But a lot of farms, in essence, are corporate entities, are they not? And then how does the government get involved in paying people not to grow things? Because if they are, then they're artificially, I guess, propping up the price for people that do grow things. How do they decide who gets the subsidy, who doesn't, and on what product? 620, if you have any questions or comments, you can text them in to 870-870. Right now, we pause for traffic on WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL. So China generally buys about 60% of Louisiana's soybeans. The president slapped some tariffs on them, so China, in exchange, slapped a 25% tariff on American soy products. That is hurting Louisiana farmers. Many of them are holding on to their beans, and they're waiting until they can find better prices. Dub Lane, our guest, associate professor of economics and finance at UNO, joins us now. Rejoins us. Before, Dub, we get to tariffs and how the government got involved in this way back before tariffs, in the beginning of propping up farmers or this or that or the other thing. You're talking about a timeline here, right? Because soybeans, I'm guessing, are not good forever?
Yeah, and I don't really know that too much. It sounds like they can be stored for some period of time, but and I don't know the mechanics of that.
Well, then I got the futures market.
But I know that they're talking about there is some room to store. They're hoping that if the trade war gets over and the prices go back up, they can wait. But you have, first of all, you have to have silo space to store them, and there is only a limited amount of time, and I don't know what that is.
And I can tell you this, Dub, having worked at a grain elevator, you got to keep the rats away from it too.
Well, yeah.
Rats the size of small horses. Anyway, so somebody texted in and said, farm tariffs are welfare for big Republican farmers caused by the Republican president in a tariff war. I get that, but as it relates to subsidies, how did the government get in the business of subsidizing farmers in the first place? Why didn't the market just determine what they should grow, what they shouldn't grow?
Well, it's all politics. You know, historically, the country has been an agricultural country, and we do, because of the electoral system, the way things set up, rural districts have quite a few representatives. They're a fairly big voting bloc, and they've managed to convince the Congress that they needed protection from low prices. And usually, as you say, it's the image is of the family farm, of which there aren't very many anymore. It's mostly big agriculture. But it's just a politics that what gets subsidized is whatever they can convince the Congress to subsidize. And it's, we subsidize a lot of things. The insurance companies have big lobbyist groups, and so do the oil. Gun rights people and oil. And so do farmers.
Mm-hmm. What would happen if all subsidies were to go away today to agriculture in America, food supply, et cetera?
Well, eventually, obviously, some farmers would go broke, and we would end up importing more of our agricultural products from Mexico and other places. The markets will sort themselves out eventually, but sorting themselves out means that some people will go bankrupt. But I don't think we wouldn't lose our food supply or anything like that. We might have to pay more for some certain products. But again, part of that, we're already paying for them through taxes rather than through the price of the products.
And along those lines, that's what I was going to ask you in terms of these tariffs. And I understand maybe it's tit for tat, maybe it's not. Is the American government actually, in a way, paying for the tariffs they put on China through the fact that it was reciprocal tariffs for which they're now subsidizing the farmers?
Correct. That's exactly what's happening.
Thank you, Dub. I appreciate your time. Hope you have a nice holiday season if we don't talk to you.
All right. Welcome. Thank you.
You bet. Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO. And to the point that he made, it's not just farms that are getting subsidies, but we're going to talk to Mike Strand, Commissioner of Agriculture and Forestry, when we come back, about the situation in Louisiana. Are these mom-and-pop farms that I think we all like to think of, you know, coming in with a kerchief, wiping your face, sitting down to a big lunch, and then going back to plow the North 40, but these are big corporate operations. We'll find out how corporate when we come back as it relates to Louisiana. And when it comes to tariffs, how long are these going to have to go on our tax dollars, in essence, for Louisiana farmers to survive? Right now, WWL First News, Chris Miller.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.